We just got a bit of a bikuach where the, oh, we need the,
we should learn the Siva Shalom.
Whether we have the video or not, you know. But for myself, I haven't necessarily like it, but it's like too. I don't know. How do you feel about the video? You prefer it on or off?
I don't have a problem having it on. The only issue we had was in terms of bandwidth and stuff like that. I have no problem having it on. So, and if we run into, I think the original reason why we took it off was because of the bandwidth.
Okay.
So then, I'll flick it on and okay.
Okay.
Good. Now it means I can't do it from my bed or something like that. I have to actually sort of be very formal about it. Okay. What?
We're not Macbeth.
You're not Macbeth. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. So,
okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, just an ongoing. We discussed 2 weeks ago already a bit about self, the idea of self from within and one from without.
Yeah.
And last week you gave us more about that. Is self esteem or self worth?
Right.
Are there two sagas? One is the question of self, and one is the question of worth, or are they intertwined by definition?
I think by definition they're intertwined. In other words, basically, when you say about yourself, I mean, when you say something is worthless, you say basically it has no existence. The value of something is a gauge of its relative level of existence. Isuri Hanor, for instance, have no value halachically, even if people are interested in buying it. You don't own it. Value is the measure of how significant is its existence. We even use it that way. We say, well, these troops are expendable. They're not much use to us. They're not much value. So value really, really is a definition in a certain sense of existence. Not always is a person's evaluation of his self correct. You know, a person might feel he's worthless or vice versa, but our own sense of self is skewed, obviously, and that's where there's an issue. But in terms of a libid emes, yes, they are one and the same. I mean, that's why covered adam is such an important inyan. I mean, when you mevazes somebody and you basically imply that he's worthless or whatever it is, it's ritzicha. The halbanas panim that's associated with a person feeling that he has no value is that the blood leaves his face. In other words, the person becomes lifeless in a certain sense. Since emotionally his existence is as seized, so too in terms of his physical, it follows. A person's reaction to feeling worthless is depression, which is sort of a self-induced death of sorts. You know, obviously where the depression comes from the emotional things. I mean, sometimes it's God forbid, it's chemical, whatever it is. But the depression is your physical reflection of your sense that you have no self. One of just... Yeah, sorry.
No, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. What were you saying?
How does that relate to the way you said it last week, that that really everything is given to us from a Kodesh Baruch Hu,
yeah,
someone that has a proper sense of self, and then his self is what he does with it.
Correct. So now the way, yes, so the way to deal with it, in other words, there are two sugyas now. Let's take a case as follows. A person is Isaac, Yom Valayla, in doing wonderful things, good things, Avodas Hashem, and so on. He lives in a community where the only activities that really count are football games, drinking beer, and such. And they look at him as a neb, a good for nothing, a lo yutzlach, v'chulu, 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 v'chulu. So if the person sees his self as in view of them, obviously that he's going to think I'm everyone's having fun, everybody's chevermind, it's not, I'm nothing. So in that case, we understand obviously that you're measuring it with some internal value. Yes, your sense of self-worth will give you your sense of your chivas, but you're measuring it on your own scale. Masha ein kein, and then to go a step further, even if a person is living in a community of people that shares values, but they somehow don't know what he does, the wonderful things, and just kind of ignore him, whatever it is, then that person should understand. Or let's say objectively, I'm not the best Baruch in Yeshiva by far, because there are some bright guys who really outshine me, but my mitzvah lies within myself. It's bringing out to light whatever it is that I have in me. That's the mark of how much existence I have. So yes, self-worth is the measure of the person, and if a person has no self-worth, he is dead in many different ways. But the chachma is to get it from the right place, to use the currency of emes, which is a certainly ruchnius versus gashmius, and secondly certainly versus internal versus external. It's not my measure of worth should not be because I'm the best Bachri Yeshiva or the worst Bachri Yeshiva. It should be, have I brought out myself or not? So we're talking here about a how to reach that value. I was in Baltimore a few weeks ago to Nachum Oval. We have a Rebbe, Rabbi Reingold. His mother-in-law passed away. They're people in the 90s, very fine people, and his father-in-law was sitting shiva, you know, with his brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and his father-in-law is a man in his 90s, quite on the ball and sprite, a retired professor of some sort of sciences, from person, a very nice person. And I told him that, you know, we're sitting there, and I told him the hesped he had said on his wife had inspired everyone greatly. It had. He had said some very, they raised a family in America, and when things were not easy, and, you know, they were much to have children. So I told him, so I said that your hesped inspired us all greatly. So he said to me, he had a squeaky voice, he says, young man, even a 91-year-old man needs a boost in self-esteem. Thank you. It was very funny. He had like a squeaky voice. He said, you know, I'm not running for mayor anymore. I'm not this and that. But it's good to hear, you know, even at this age, it's good to hear, you know, things that boost your self-esteem. It was just a very cute expression. Okay. I'll call upon him. But the issue really is, where does a person draw that picture of value? Our instinct is to use the marketplace. So if in the yeshiva I'm the best bachas, I should feel good about myself. But I'm using half of my potential. I'm quite bright and I can, you know, get the answers and so on. On the other hand, if I'm working full force and I'm towards the bottom of the yeshiva, just a very bright group of boys and dedicated, I should mark my self-value vis-a-vis what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in me and what percent of that is being utilized. If 100% of that is utilized, this is a divine nekuda that's being realized. There's no way I could be memayed that. Okay, we have the last paragraph in the Seva Shtika, Perikamadik Subis. Tan Rabbanan. Al Yashmir Laznov Dvarim Betelem Neshin Nichvim Tchilei Varim. A person should not say Dvarim Betelem, because the ears get burnt first. The Gemara says over there that when you roast a head, the ears get singed first. The ears are delicate meat, not protected, and so on. So
I think we
did it last week.
Yeah, we're about halfway through.
Ah, I see. Okay, yes, because I know we didn't finish that much. I gathered. Okay, so where are we up to?
I think we finished that piece, but I think they Daki Ramos.
Ah, okay, fine. Okay, so good. Because this is basically the Gemara, correct? Okay, fine. So we did the Gemara, but I guess we didn't get further. Vada.
So, we also did this, but okay, it's a good place to start.
Okay, I guess so. Vada ki rom ze binyan ze dav dav nifla ma'od b'tzur sadam ki oizen shal adam utchilu chalei varim v'nechshav pesach la adam. It is the Yisod, it says in many places that it's the Tchilas HaAdam. And anytime you ruin the Tchila, it obviously is the worst place to ruin something because everything gets ruined afterwards. Now, let's talk a little bit about why this is the Tchila. Why is the eyes in the tchila? We certainly, in many ways, consider the eyes more important, but I also want to understand a little bit why it's tchila. So let's read down maybe just a few more lines, and then we'll talk about it. So he says the first point he says is just that it's a faculty of being tchila is what lends it its vulnerability. So it's something that if you start a kilkel there, it's nimshach. V'oydeish b'dovah ze'inya muflag moid. Ke'oizin shumur pesach labayis u'nechshav tzuras adam. Being that the oizin is the pesach labayis, it's a tzuras adam. V'lekach acher shuchos yishmiya nechshav onu patim ha'mitzvahs. V'zimtei k'mo shenechshav kli shen lebeis kibul, shenechshav kli klal. V'cheina oizin oizay sadam legamri. Talk about this point about the oizen being the pesach habayis. I think that's a very important point over here. L'chura, all five evarim should be considered a pesach to the person. A person is able to see, smell, taste, touch, feel, and hear. What is it about? These are all sort of quote unquote gateways into the body. And what we see affects us greatly, and we need to close our eyes when something inappropriate and so on. So, what exactly are the ears different? So, the pesach of something is always that which connects the outside and the inside. Now, let's understand the big difference between the eyes and the ears in this. When I look with my eyes, so there is, I perceive something that's outside of me, but I totally give it its interpretation. And that's why we're frustrated many times when you see a picture without a caption and you're trying desperately to figure out what it is. In a newspaper, sometimes they omit the caption by accident, and you rack your brain trying to figure out, well, what exactly do I see over here? Famous paintings have all sorts of interesting names, not always given by the artist. So we have outside information, and I've outside, well, I'm also doing information as much as data, and it is I who give it its meaning. So, I'm, in a way, I'm taking in things from outside, but in a way, it's really totally controlled by me. I give it its name, its meaning, its value, and so on. Hearing is a faculty where I take in other people's take on something, other people's understanding, other people's opinion, or other people's evaluation. That's what I do with hearing. So it's where there's a real meeting with the outside world, whereas the other senses, it's automatically my take on it. So when I see something, I give it my take, and I and that's how I title it in a certain way, and that's how I incorporate it. But when I hear other people's opinions, evaluations, whatever it is, descriptions, so on, I'm very, very much letting in something else. And that's why when a person hears, you know, hearing kfira and so on has an effect on you. Now, as a side point, this should be fairly obvious. When we speak about hearing, when you read a book, that's also listening, and it's hearing rather than seeing. Because the main point about hearing is outsiders' information. Someone else's brain is coming to my brain. So if I see a book, I'm reading somebody else's words. Someone else is putting in that, has taken the whatever it is and made words out of it, and is giving it to me. I want to go maybe a half a step deeper into this. Since koyach ha'adam is dibur, so that means whatever my senses pick up, I digest into dibur. So if I see a scene, I say, look how nasty Reuven was to Shimon. Or, looking at the same scene, I see, look at how Reuven has stood up to his rights in the face of Shimon. Or, look at Reuven and Shimon, this is typical of what goes on. Those evaluations are my evaluations. So I took in information of this world, I digest it and make diburim out of it. And those diburim are ma'ase adam. So just like, you know, you can feed somebody, and you know, you have different animals that chew up whatever it is, and then digest it, and then regurgitate it and feed it to the young, you know, or in a little bit less of a gory fashion, a mother will chew up the food and sort of give it to a child to chew up food. So it's somebody else's digestion, and it's going straight into my bloodstream, basically. Or, you know, obviously there's more steps, but it's much closer to it. So whenever I take in someone else's words or take or whatever it is, then I have taken in something that is someone else's. That's why the ear is sort of the gateway to the person. It's where the outside meets the inside in a way that's not true of the other senses. And that's why even Dvarim B'Teilim, so besides the fact that he says that, you know, it's important, and just saying generically, being that's a very, very important sense, even Dvarim B'Teilim are affected. There's a deeper point over here. Dvarim B'Teilim is also a statement. There is nothing I can say that is not defining something. Let's take a simple example. Imagine someone asks me about Yankel. So a rather unsophisticated person needs to hear Yankel. He's a good for nothing, a Rosh Marusha, this, and this. And that's the only way he'll get a sense that maybe Yankel is not appropriate. Somebody a little more sophisticated, if he hears, if the response is Yankel, very nice guy, we'll say aha, you know, and we'll understand that since I didn't say much, it's, you know, I couldn't say anything much, and I couldn't say anything much through that. Not saying in this case it would be a statement. Even if I were to say something like, yeah, Yankel's a very nice guy, he learns well, very good midas, and I say it in that tone of voice, that implies that, you know, the omission of anything about it is a very, very powerful description. I'm omitting anything of significance or important or enthusiasm or anything like that. Dvarim B'Teilim, if if I speak to Rabbi Talem, I'm making a statement about the world that there's not much in the world. I'm describing life as bottle. It's so even though I'm not talking philosophy or anything like it, but the very fact that what I'm processing out of this world is nonsense, not much, that reflects on the world that's not much. So he says the oizen is now that's the first part. But oizen should come with pesel by his natural source of them. Yes.
I ask a question.
Sure.
Is there like a
makom
for dvarim b'teilim that if a person just wants to relax, there'd be like a makom for it?
Yes. Yes. Know? Just like there's a makom for shena. All this we're talking about. What is the substance of the person? In other words, when dvarim b'teilim are your substance, we have a problem. If a person, by definition, when a person needs to relax, the person needs to relax. He basically is saying, "I need to shut the machine off for a while." So I understand that this is the mode of shutting the machine off. So that's not dvarim b'teilim at all. I think I told of the story with the Chaznish and Rebel Yaffa. I assume I did, or
no. Happy to hear it again. At any rate.
Okay. My problem is Matisio is going to cross references with the three other times I said it and the differences, and going to try to interrogate me as to which difference and why. I'll go upon him. I guess it comes with a hakdam. When I started teaching Esh HaTorah, my first class was a more advanced group of, it was a Gemara Shia, and there was one fellow very, very, very frum, a Baal Tshuva, and you know, the kind of one of these people that becomes frum very sharply and very quickly. He got engaged 2 months after I started teaching, and he decided that he will emulate the Gra and not speak any Sicha B'Teilim with his wife. It's a Mishnah, and the Gra was not like that. So he decided that he would sort of grunt or nod when he needed something and just be quiet the rest of the time. Maybe say different Torah sorts. So it surprisingly enough, it created some stresses at home. And it ended up my lap. So, I pushed pretty hard. And he was very, very annoyed about it. But he asked me, well, what about, you know, is it Sicha B'Teilim? You know, it does say so and so on. So I told him the difference between chulin and batel. I said, you know, chulin means it's not kodesh, but it's not batel. It's interaction. So, I don't know, it sort of satisfied him a bit. But then someone told me the following story. The Mashgiach in Kfar Sidim, Reb Dov Yaffa, had a son who worked in Esh HaTorah. And when I shared this with him, he told me his father as a bacha was very, very stark. And he would come to the Chaznish every so often, every tkufa, to sort of, to ask him shailas and so on. And one day he came to Chaznish. He was in Kfar Sidim, but he would take in a bus. He would take the bus and go in. And he told the Chaznish that he would like to start a sort of miftza that yeshiva bochum should only speak in learning. Avedibarta bom miftza. So Chaznish didn't say anything. The next time Reb Dov Yaffe came to visit him, he took him for a walk, and they walked around Bnei Brak. And the Chaznish moves like a lot of small talk about the buildings going up and where and who's living there, and you know, things are very common things. When they finished, the Chaznish told him, "Berale, berale." You know, Dov in Yiddish is berale. You know, he said, "Sicha is mitzorchei ha'adam." Conversation is a human need. Me must fissen aber dem Mos. In other words, it's not eliminating it, but rather it's rather giving it the right proportion. So conversing with a person is connecting with a person, and the conversation needs to be human conversation. It's things that interests you, interests him, her, whatever, the question is always just to put a proportion to it. So a person needs to shut the engine every so often, or else the car overheats. The best raya is that Kadosh Baruch Hu engineered us to need to sleep. There's still scientists are still wrestling with the question: what exactly is the purpose of sleep? You know, we Baruch Hashem don't wrestle with the question; we just sleep. But scientists wrestle with the question, and whatever it is, it means we are engineered to need to close off, and a person needs to do that. There's a revach bin parasha le parasha. There's a parasha when you speak, and there's a parasha when you don't speak. So we're not talking here about the time of the person that's in the more relaxed mode. We're just talking about that this is the person's, this is the conversation he has to offer, is meaningless pratter. Okay, so he says, Voyager of Mark, Oizen Shukma Pesel Bites on Ashtos Adam. In other words, your chibur with the bria around, your chibur with everything is the oizen. That's the chibur, and therefore the pesach. And let's understand it with the oimek that he means. If you're to ask me, where is it that I can reach Pliny? So the answer will be at the Pesach of his house. It could be the phone that he answers, it could be the email that he returns. Whatever it is, there's a point of connection. And that point of connection is where that allows him to function via the world. If let's say I move into the neighborhood to become the posik to answer the shilas, but I have no phone, no mail, no door that you can knock on, literally and figuratively, then basically I'm of use, no use. A person becomes a kli when he has that chibur. So when there's a place where people can grab me, my attention, and that's the ozen, that's where I became a kli. And without that, I'm not a kli. And Adam is the shalit on the bria. He's the chibur to the bria, and that's why without it, he's not tzuras Adam. V'da katzura yisim mukhan lekabel kilkul mikol shayivarim. Now he adds another point, that the tzura of the Adam, which means sort of the overall description of what Adam is, or anything else, is what defines the person, and what makes him, and if you destroy that, you destroy everything. In other words, the tzura of a person is the sum total of his entirety. So if I have the parts, but I don't have the tzura on it, it's worthless. So that's sort of the heart of everything. I want to just add some before. He says that the tzura is the whole Adam, and therefore a person will defend against every kilkul of the tzura and so on. Let's describe a little bit what that would be like. When you're fighting a war, there are two ways of winning, of vanquishing. One is I capture something of extraordinarily strategic and military importance to the person. So to the nation, I'm sorry. So if I take their chief airport, I one could make a good case that that's sort of victory and so on and so forth. It makes a lot of sense. But there's another way. If I capture something that's the essence of who they are and what they are. So for instance, imagine somebody fights England and captures the king or the queen. Now, in terms of the functional value of the queen, I assume they'll find somebody to cut ribbons besides the queen. And whatever else she does, speaks once a year in parliament, I'm sure they'll be able to find somebody else. It's hard to say that she's a strategic value to the country. But you could say that that's the tour of the country. If you take some of the institutions, some of the significant institutions, you've taken away the tsura of it, and you've destroyed it. So even if you haven't physically destroyed it, but if it's a France without wine or without art museums, let's say ISIS captures France, if they haven't already, and what they do is they remove every single work of art from France, leave nothing else, and they touch nothing else. So in a certain sense, you could say they destroyed France, because that's the tsura of France, that's the national character, and they would be destroying everything that is of teichen. So when you destroy the tsura of something, you've destroyed its teichen.
Would you say that applies like to the media of today, in a certain sense, that controls the nation to a large extent?
Yes. At the end of the day, the nation is the media. That's the face of the nation, correct. And that's why we in America have the fortune of being ready to elect Donald Trump as president. I mean, you know, it's correct. The media is the character of the nation. So the part of a person that's a tzura, that's where it starts. So being that it is the essence of the person, the smallest thing will be macalculate. So even though dvarim betelim as such, we can't say they're terrible things and they're destructive on a sort of absolute scale. Rak b'shvil ke oizin tzuras adam sha'afu nechsha kilkul tzura. Olekach al yeshmil oizin dvarim betelim she'nisham en ha'kilkul b'avur shu ha'pesach v'aschala. Ve'av kibarim ha'kamacha ka'aseichu tzura adam. Bevarei kenhu. Avla adam u kemoy kli kibul. Shu mekabul ha'aseichu. Because she'ena kli kibul kashu cheresh en mekabul. So he says it's true that the seichel is the kli kibul, but I assume what he means, these are the handles of that kli kibul. The koyach hashmiya in kol yusa, k'ma kli kashu goylam shenlo beis kibul ein etzuras kli ve'achshav kli. So the brain and so on are the ikar adam, if we have what it needs to connect to the world. Both of them are lacking value as Adam. A house that has no opening and therefore people can't get in is simply not a house. Okay, so what nesiv do we want to do? What do we want to do next?
About Avas Reya.
Avas Reya, okay. What?
About Sneas, the next one.
We did Sneas.
Okay,
so Mitzvah Shem next week should be okay. In 2 weeks, in case it's not good, but in 2 weeks and in 3 weeks, we won't be on Thursday. 2 weeks, I won't be here, and in 3 weeks, there will be Purim, Mitzvah Shem. for those of us who are Yudal people. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. When he says Tzura,
yeah,
he's saying it's the Pesach and it's the Tzura. So it sounds like he means by Tzura not that it's the Iker Davart, but he's in the Dik. Right, the main thing is that it's the Pesach, but without that Pesach, you wouldn't have the Tzura, right?
It's more than that. It's the what determines when I look to see on some when I look at an object and I ask myself, what is this object? What's its description? What's its tzura? Part of the answer will be whatever it accomplishes in the world around us. So something that looks like a screwdriver, I say its tzura, it connects to the screws and tightens them. The tushtel of the person to the world is the oizen. So that's really what his tzura is. Since a person's place in this world, l'abd l'shamra, and so on, so that's really going to be the description of his tzura. So they are, even though in principle they're different, but in this case it's one and the same. The tzura is what's your place in the world. What? How do you fit into the world? So that's really going to depend on the Pesach.
And it's called Haschala, meaning that that's where everything starts.
Yeah, this is where I connect to Haschala in the sense of looking at Adam as an element within the world. This is the starting point of Adam.
That's where he plugs in to what's around him and,
yes,
and what allows him to function.
Right.
Okay.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.